We have the great good fortune now to spend a few minutes with our mayor, Jill Teckle, who is not just down the street or down at City Hall, but is in Washington, D.C. right now for the Conference of Mayors. Mayor Teckle, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. This is the only way you'll have me on at 6:30 in the morning when I'm on East Coast time. It's a little easier.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So tell us, how long have you been there? What are the highlights been so far in the conference this time?
Yeah, I flew back on Tuesday, and the session started on Wednesday. The first session was a Water Council meeting, and I'm co-chair of the U.S. Mayor's Water Council. So mayors from all over the country, we sit around these tables there in a square, and so we can all kind of see each other and share what's going on in our community. So that's part of it, is just asking each other, what is your water issue, and what can we do to help? There's so much more when you band together, and have staff back here in Washington that can help you find other partners to work with. So we were pleased. Some of the cities had consent decrees, which are issues with the sewer system and outfalls, and they had just huge fines against them and huge upgrades that needed to be done for their systems. And many of these cities are very poor, and so they just can't raise the rates. So there's just some legislation that got passed last week that we were celebrating that gave them more options and a more affordable way to move forward. So that's kind of the fun part about it, is working on something. In this case, it's been like 10 years, but finally finding the right people in Washington that can move it forward and to help communities, help cities.
Yeah, a crucial issue everywhere you go, water topics, right?
Water topics. And I was listening before to the news and the sports, and Ira mentioned the Warriors are playing tonight in Washington, and I am going to go to the game.
Oh, so lucky you.
I feel like it's really kind of exciting, and, you know, get to see Cousins, because I saw him once on TV last week. So, anyway.
Okay. Well, that's excellent. I happened to be flipping channels yesterday afternoon, checking out different news channels, and I landed on C-SPAN, which I never do, and there was House Speaker Pelosi, I believe, speaking to the Conference of Mayors, was she not?
Yes. She showed up yesterday, and we're Joe Biden, I think, is speaking right now. So we're having a variety of folks that are throwing their hat in the ring for president. So it's fun to see at this early stage. One the mayor, I think it's South Bend, Pete Buttigieg, is a member of the conference, and so, you know, it's kind of fun to talk to him about what it's like to, you know, from the Midwest to start out and become a candidate.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
We mentioned him yesterday, and in the interval, the 24 hours since, I've learned a little bit better how to pronounce his name. You did a good job with it. He's, what, 37? He's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana?
Yep. He's a delightful young man, and he's been involved with the Water Council, so I've got to know him a little more in a small group venues.
Very interesting. So who knows how it might turn out? You might have a friend become president.
Oh, my God, yeah. they all want to be your friends right now.
Yeah,
so
of course.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So what are the other topics on your mind as you're there? Are people obviously talking about the shutdown? Are you feeling that that's an issue that translates to the mayoral level?
Definitely affects all of us. You know, many of us have gone and met with our Congress folks while we were here. And last night there was a reception at Mike Thompson's office. And actually, Mayor Dunbar's here this year, and the mayor of Sonoma and the mayor of Windsor. And so we went over and talked to Mike about, you know, he had run off and voted, and he was having a committee meeting last night after our reception. So you just get a sense of what's happening. And this week was actually supposed to be a recess week for Congress. And so I had told Mike I was coming back for the U.S. mayors, and he said, oh, I'll probably be back in the district. But it turns out that they've canceled all the recesses, and so they're all around here to be available if something pops and they need to vote.
Yeah, which we're certainly hoping it will. No signs of resolution quite yet, but there are steps in the process, it appears.
Right.
So shifting from what's going on back there to what's going on here, you just finished a few days back your annual planning session with the council and set your agenda going forward into 2019. So what's top of the list for you? What did you come out of that planning session with as goals and objectives?
I think we came out of what we went in with. I mean, there are certain things that are priorities. Housing is huge, and so housing issues will stay top of mind. Went to a session yesterday about housing and heard from cities all over the country. And what's interesting is, you know, we go and people come to me and, Jill, housing is such a problem in Napa. What are you doing about it? And, you know, housing a problem, you know, talk to the mayor from Minneapolis, you know, from all over the country. People are having challenges with housing, so it's a pretty universal situation. But they're changing zoning. In Minneapolis, they had a very limited part of the community that could have multifamily zoning, and so they're attempting to redesign their plan to put more multifamily housing in more neighborhoods in order to give people some options. So, it's new. The mayor's very young and very idealistic, so, you know, it's great to hear from them and you kind of hear their plans, and then, you know, those of us who have been around a while go, okay, I can see where the challenges are, but, yeah. You know, they haven't forgotten to be excited about it.
That'll never work. That'll never work.
And sometimes it does, and you kind of go, all right, you've done it. You've taken the bull by the horns and are moving it forward. Mm-hmm. But as far as what we've got going, we've got like 500 units that are going to come online in the next year. So we actually have a lot of building right now happening in Napa, so we should you know, help a little just to add those kind of units. So, again, a lot of our conversations are about how do we ensure that those units are for local work people that are working.
Right.
And how to really help the workforce, because that's the other issue is, you know, what's going on with the workforce. It's hard for people to live in Napa. So, we're thankful for our Solano neighbors that actually, you know, provide us some workforce. But it's something we have to constantly be looking at. We also are moving forward with reevaluating the City Hall project. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of top of mind, and we've got a subcommittee of Vice Mayor Scott Sedgley and Mary Luros, and they're working with staff to create a plan that is affordable and makes sense for Napa. We had a very challenging project, a very complex project, and the costs just kept elevating, and it got to the point where I was not comfortable moving forward with that project. Just because of the amount of debt we'd have to take on for the city. And so we're looking to find another way to do it, and we'll be sharing that with the community and being going out with the community with all sorts of meetings to really find out what works for everybody.
Yeah, interesting, and that's all good. Are there other big-ticket items, big high-level topics that you and the other mayors are talking about? Is there a buzz around, for example, climate change issues? There's some, I'm sure, panels and meetings on those topics.
Yes. Climate change has always been a big issue with the U.S. mayors, and we've got, just like we have the Water Council, we also have an Environmental Council that deals with those issues. So we share best practices, and you know that's what a lot of it is. Yesterday, Mayor Garcetti, who is on the infrastructure, he's in charge of the infrastructure subcommittee, and we're really working with Washington to get that funding. Everybody's talking about it's the year to invest in roads and in water systems and pipes and rehabbing our systems, and So there, he's formed a committee. There's a committee formed, and he's the chair. And I'm one of 13 members on that committee, specifically representing the issues of water and water infrastructure. But he was to speak yesterday. He couldn't arrive yesterday because he was solving the teacher's strike in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the variety of things that mayors get to do, and I'm pleased that has gotten some resolution, because that is tough. That is tough when your teachers are out.
Yeah, it certainly was good to see there. You've gotten back to work, and I got a little bit of better working conditions, hopefully, for teachers in that district.
Yeah.
The other topic that I'm curious about in terms of buzz, since it's such a big issue on the national news scene, is immigration. Do you have mayors there, or are there conferences or people you know, speaking out to say, yes, immigration is a big issue for us in our town?
No, I have not had a conversation like that at this conference. I have in the past, and it kind of, I've found it depends upon where you live and what's happening to your community because of immigration. I know some folks from Arizona were getting, you know, the folks that were coming over the border with the mules and the bringing in things, and they were a pretty tough group of people, and so it was a fairly challenging for that community. Whereas in Napa, we appreciate our immigrants, and you know, our goal is to make them part of the community and make them be successful in the community. So, but I haven't had a conversation about strong border security being a mayor's almost opposite. And in fact, a group of mayors about a month ago went to the border to see what was happening there. So we'll do that. And I've got a session this afternoon about, you know, disasters, how you go through disasters and come out with some economic positivity for your community. And so I'm going to go listen to that, and the mayor from Puerto Rico is going to be there. So I'm interested in her story.
For sure. Talking with Napa Mayor Jill Teckel, who is currently in Washington, D.C. at the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Any expectation that the president will show up and make a speech?
No expectation. Not going to happen. I'd heard a select group of mayors, a group of 12, has been invited to the White House. So tomorrow. So
You're not in that group?
I'm still looking for my invitation. Mm-hmm. It's not here.
Check your spam folder.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other highlights?
No, it's just it's interesting. It's great to connect with other mayors. I have a high school classmate who's the mayor of Edina, Minnesota, and we went to Grand Forks, North Dakota Central High School when we were younger, and so it's kind of fun to connect with him. And you know, from a small school in North Dakota to have two mayors, it's kind of fun.
It is interesting. It says something about maybe the civic mindedness of people who come from where you come from.
Yeah.
All right.
We just jump in, yes.
A good note on which to close out. Thanks for taking some time for us this morning. And since it's not early where you are, I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, much easier. All right.
All right. See you when you're back.
See you when I get
back. Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Napa Mayor Jill Teckel again at the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Interesting. Wouldn't you think the president, being as he is so fond of speaking in front of groups, this seems like would have been an opportunity for him. I'm surprised he's not on the agenda. In any event, bigger fish to fry, we hope. All right, let's get into a few other items now, stories that are in the news today. Let's see, I wanted to jump in fact, and tag on a little bit to the conversation there about the housing discussion. You might have, like I did, shaken your head a little bit, tisk, 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 when you looked at the story that Howard Yoon wrote for the Napa Valley Register about this affordable SRO project, which is single room occupancy, not standing room only, by the way. Housing in Napa, though, is kind of a single, kind of a standing room only situation at times. And what might make you tisk tisk as I did was the headline and the story saying, despite neighbor opposition, Napa approves loan for housing. And here we are, you know, engaged in the same story that seems to have no connection. It seems that some people have no connection to the actual crisis of housing that exists, not just here, all over California, and not just in Napa that people get NIMBY-ish. It's everywhere, and it's part of our problem. In this particular example, and I don't mean to demonize people who have these feelings. I think what I'm hoping is to encourage them to get beyond it. And, you know, I'd be a hypocrite not to clearly say that we do have this as a common, let's say, problem. And that is that multifamily anything is a degradation to my single-family neighborhood. That's one of our frustrating problems, a way of thinking. On top of that, affordable multifamily anything is worse than just multifamily anything in terms of impact on me and my single-family home or my neighborhood. And the constant worry that people express, and even anger sometimes over the idea of losing value in their property because of a development coming into their neighborhood. You know, I've pointed this out a few times along the way the last dozen years or so. There comes to be a point where empirical evidence disproves your theory. And it's pretty hard for anybody around in Napa and places like Napa to say, look what this development has done to my housing value. Because we've seen nothing but, except for the recession, which was nothing to do with what had been built or not built, except for the big recession, housing values have continually climbed, and there's no reason to think they won't continue to climb. And if, you know, you get into a question of saying, well, at the end of the day, you know, this, because of the changes in the neighborhood, it, you know, it shaved, you know, let's pick a number, $50,000 off the value of my property on which I made $300,000 anyway, you know? It's a hard argument to give into. In this particular story that I was referencing, when you're talking about an SRO project that serves as a transitional housing environment for people who need some help, who are coming out of homelessness or other issues and are trying to get back into the mainstream, we need to help those people, and they've got to be somewhere. The idea that you're suddenly going to become a crime victim because people who need help are living in your neighborhood, I mean, I know we're afraid. I know we're all fearful at times. And, you know, a certain amount of caution is always appropriate, I suppose. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. But there's really very little evidence that people who are trying to do better are now going to become a problem down the street from you. People who have had problems in their lives in the past are probably more prone to have problems going forward. I think that's fair. If you've had addiction issues, you're more likely to fall back into that than somebody who's never had them, I would guess. If you run with a bad crowd, as they used to say, if you have negative influences in your life and you don't eliminate them, And just because you've tried to get back on your feet doesn't mean you will if you're still associating with the wrong people. All this is true, and we know that's a fact. All the same, people who need help need a place, and they shouldn't be chased out of a community because there's no place for them, no affordable place to go. I'm glad to see that the council had the courage to go forward with this funding piece of this. It's got a long way to go. We're talking about a project on Valle Verde, I believe it is. It seems like an appropriate facility, and it's not in use right now. Doris Gentry's quoted in the story making some very pointed comments, you know, that isn't it ironic you have people living along the riverbank on under blue tarps and there's an empty building sitting here going to rot, you know? Well stated. And I don't know what kind of a, you know, what's the point of having a really valuable piece of property in a town that isn't where you, doesn't represent the values that you want to have, you know, to help people who need help. You know, that's a thought. All righty. And that's a little bit of what's in the news.